There is a bigger plan for you that's working out in your highest good, and that's going to bring new people into your life.
But this can't end. Don't end this.
No, I won't. Don't worry.
Okay,
there's
great.
No one else in line anyway.
Okay, great. If she comes, I'll beat the shit out of her.
Welcome to Signal, the podcast that raises your frequency. I'm Maury Fontanez.
And I'm Melissa Gruszka.
And today we're going to talk about the growth edge that comes with ending. Being ready?
I love that spin. Sure do.
Hey, Signal listeners. Before we get into this week's episode, I have something personal to share that I wanted to take a minute and just talk to you about. For those of you that have been listening to our podcast, you know that I have written a book. And I am so excited to share that this book is finally available for pre-sale on Amazon and Target.com and several other places. My book is called Higher Self, Reclaiming the Power of Your Intuition. And it is all of my coaching methodology, but also very much a personal memoir about my own life and how I realized that I had the intuitive gifts that I had and all of the highs and lows that I've navigated that have really allowed me to create the method that's been so life-changing for so many people. And this has been truly a labor of love for the past 2 years, and the book is finally available for pre-order. If you can take just a minute and visit any of the links that we are going to put in the show notes to put in your pre-order, it helps this book so much when it finally comes out in March. It makes the publishers feel so good about how much people want to hear this message, which allows us to print even more copies and distributors to be even more excited to carry the book. So truly, your pre-orders make all the difference. Again, those links will be in the show notes. And thank you so much for your support. On with the show. Hey, hey, hey.
Hey, hey, hey.
What's up?
Nothing. What's up?
We're a little low energy right now.
We're going to get it hyped. We're going to get it hyped. We used to do that Arsenio Hall.
Yeah. Before we would record.
We stopped doing that. Maybe that's our problem.
That is our problem. We need to hype it up right now.
We need Arsenio on. Is Arsenio still alive? We need Arsenio on this podcast. Arsenio, you're going to be our hype guy. In the beginning of every episode, we're going to have Arsenio pop in.
I bet you we could just find a sound file with that. Or no, it's not the same as having Arsenio.
I'd prefer his face.
You're right. Arsenio, call us.
Call our people. And by
call
our people,
Melissa.
I mean me. Okay,
what's
anything.
Up?
You got anything good? I got a really good one.
I do. I have a cringe-tastic.
Oh, good. Me too.
Okay. Today's a double recording day. We just had
sure
the
is.
Most fucking incredible guest on who you will have heard last week.
Yeah.
By the time you're listening to this. But my goddamn ADHD brain, no, I love you brain. I am so terrible with names, and the way that her name is spelled phonetically.
I don't think that was bad.
Oh my God. Let me tell you. The way her name is spelled phonetically, A-L-E-A-A-A sounds like Aaliyah.
That's what I thought.
But it's Aaliyah.
Yeah.
But I was so forgetting that that's the way to pronounce it every time I wanted to say her name that I was finding myself like finding other ways to address her. And when she was talking and sharing this brilliance, part of my brain kept being like, how do you pronounce it? I was pronouncing it in my head while she was talking. And I was like, what kind of freaking Iranian person?
You're gonna say white person, am I?
Yeah.
I knew it,
but
I'm white.
What Iranian person are you that you are having a pronunciation issue when you grew up with this your whole life? It is cringe-y.
I think people get really offended when you mispronounce their name, but like all you have to do is correct them. Like if someone called me Lisa, like people, I will say my kids are always mispronounced. My oldest is Evie, I-E. Everyone calls her Evie. And I just say it's Evie. Or she just says
it's
Evie.
Whose name is Evie?
Evie knows someone named Evie.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, Evie.
Layla is spelled L-A-I-L-A instead of L-A-Y-L-A.
They call her Lila.
Everyone calls her Lila, which I actually did on purpose. Long story. But I'm just like, it's Layla.
Why
and then
you
everyone,
name her Lila?
Everyone moves on from it. I tried to name her Lila. That was my name.
Oh.
I got dissed because it means night in Hebrew. And I thought, who cares? It's beautiful. And Corey didn't like
you
it.
Sneaky little devil.
And I didn't like – I liked Layla, but I didn't like it with a Y. No offense, any Laylas with a Y. I just liked it to be a little different. So I did it with an I. And then I was like, everyone's going to think it's Lila. Now she's such a Layla. Now she's such a Layla. And I love that she has her own spelling, but everyone says it. And all I do is people get really offended. All I do is like, it's Layla. I'm not offended that you read it the way you read it.
Cool. No, but she had told me the right pronunciation right. in the beginning of the interview. And then I was still about to pronounce it the wrong. Anyway, I was having a lot of anxiety in myself during this interview and cringing myself out. And anyway, we hope you guys, if you did not listen last week, go back and listen to her.
Holy shit.
She was profoundly interesting.
Yeah. After we even hopped off, we were like, tell us everything.
Tell us everything. When can we book our session?
Your secrets.
Yeah. All right. What about you?
My cringe is really superficial. I had a lip flip. Do you know what that is?
What is that?
It's just instead of filler in your lip, they just do a little Botox like at these spots so that it kind of like pulls your lip up
a
little bit.
She's pointing to the McDonald arches part of her
lip. Go check out our YouTube. Anyway.
No, not right now. I wouldn't.
I did it like a week ago and it takes like a week to kick in like Botox does. And I just told a friend of mine and everything was like fine. You can't really tell. It's like a very subtle. Can you tell at all?
I can't see
my upper lip
because the screen fine. Feels a little.
It's like an upper lip. It's just like a tiny little enhancement. But anyway, a friend of mine yesterday, I was trying to drink through a straw. It stops some of your muscles from working. And I didn't realize. And yesterday I was like, what? Is this straw broken? I thought there was a hole in the straw. And then my friend texted me because I had told her like last week how I got a lip flip. And she was like, how's your straw drinking going? And
oh,
I was
wow.
Like, oh my God.
So this is a legit.
Watch.
Side effect. Okay, you look ridiculous. You look like a squirrel when you do that.
He said he went to the bottom because a lot of people have trouble with drooling after it.
Oh my God.
Because you lose control.
This sounds really worth it, Bean. I'm glad that you have done this to yourself.
So my cringe is basically how I drink water.
Yeah. That is my cringe too. You look like the Real Housewives of Bucks County as you continue to give these your face all of these enhancements.
I just kind of now tilt my head down when I'm drinking out of a straw so no one can see my face.
Oh my God. How long do these effects last and will I be able to see them when I see you in person next week?
Yeah. I'll see you next week. Oh, thank God. But you can't even tell. You really can't tell that much.
Wow. The things we do for beauty and vanity.
Oh, I do it for me, man. I tell you that.
I know. I do believe that about you. Well, Bean, on that note,
let's talk about something really serious now.
Let's talk about something serious. Yeah.
Let's go. Yeah.
All right. So we wanted today to talk about endings. And we were like, well, that sounds depressing. Why is, you know, what is the point of that? And what we have decided, which is so true, is that the idea of endings is such a potent spiritual process. It is such a fertile area of growth for our souls.
But it doesn't feel like that in the moment usually, ever.
Hell no. So as is our brand, we want to turn something that feels really hard into something that feels like growth and expansion for you. So we're going to talk about how we turn endings into new beginnings and what endings provide us spiritually.
I'm going to say actually on your brand, it's on brand for you. I was even thinking at the top when you said something about endings and then new beginnings. I was like, what a goddamn beautiful spin she just put on that. Because in my mind, I was like, endings. Yeah, they're really hard.
You were endings like, are openings for something new. So let's get you guys thinking about them that in that way. All right. So let's talk about what do we mean when we say endings? I mean, this is a broad concept. So it can mean anything that feels like it's ending for you. It can be as tangible as the end of a job, the end of a relationship, the end of a marriage. And it can be as metaphysical as the end of an era for you in terms of the way you've operated in the world, or the end of one stage of your growth journey and the beginning of a new one. So I really feel like endings are happening all around us in our lives all the time. But the ones that really hurt are the ones that are really, really tangible.
No, I actually think you're wrong. I think that just like you said, that a lot of people just shifting the way you are showing up or an era in your life. I know I always go back to momming, but like I keep saying this era of having little kids for me is ending and I'm into a new one. And there's so much to process. It's not like a physical job loss or loss of a family member. It's just like
whoa, like, who yeah. am I now? I feel like they're equally as potent if you're able to view things like that as actual endings.
And let's talk about why they're so potent. We attach so much of our identity to the circumstances of our life in that moment.
Yeah.
So people can sometimes identify as the title that they have at work.
Totally.
They identify as a wife or a partner or, you know, a husband.
Yeah.
They identify as a mother or a father.
Yeah.
And it becomes so all-consuming around the way that we see ourselves that I think that endings become really devastating, because what you just said, it's like
yeah.
everything that you think you are breaks down and has to become something else. And if you don't see the rebirth in it, you only see the breakdown in it, then it is such a massive loss, not only of that moment, that phase, that relationship, but of that part of your identity. It's like you're grieving that part of your identity
100%.
As an ending is happening.
Yeah. It's really sad and hard.
Sad and hard.
It can be physical, emotional, mental, all the things, spiritual.
Yeah. Like health, for example, is a good example. My grandmother always used to say, please just first and foremost every morning when you wake up, thank God for your health. Because it is
something
that we don't even pay attention to and take for granted. But when you have a health event take place and suddenly you can't do something you used to do before, that is such an ending that is really like profoundly transformational in your life in a way that initially does not feel good.
100%. And you realize how it always happens. You realize how critical health is to everything. Like with none of it else matters or can be done without your health.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about the spiritual essence of endings and why they are such a profound part of, you know, the spiritual journey or the soul's journey.
This I don't know much about. Yes. So I'm going to look to you because I don't know a lot about this.
Well, you're going to love this because you always go to this. But, you know, the first thing we look to when we're looking at the meaning behind endings is nature. And nature operates around this law of cycles, which is that everything in the natural world operates in cycles: birth, death, rebirth. Seasons change, plants grow, they die, they regenerate. So endings are like really simply a part of this universal rhythm that we're in.
Yeah.
And if we pay attention to
it, we
can see that rhythm happening around us in nature. And what that reminds us spiritually, which is such a massive teaching in most spiritual teachings, is that nothing is permanent.
It's
that
true.
Life
nothing
is ever evolving. And that these cycles teach us that, you know, especially when we look to nature, that endings aren't something to fear, but they're part of the ongoing flow of life, that they occur to allow space for something new to come in, to allow space for regeneration and birth. And I really believe from my own life that if you see it that way, it creates so much resilience and abundance. Because you begin to see all of the opportunity that comes in the ending. And I don't say that to say that you need to skip past the emotional processing of the ending, because that's part of the cycle.
Feel the feels.
But I really do love this idea that nature helps remind us of this impermanence and this natural flow of the universe and the rhythm that we're in. Something ends, something else begins. Always. Nature abhors a vacuum. It will always fill that empty space with something new.
We talked about that on the resilience episode too, that it's so important to see the value in the hard life lesson that you're going through, which often an ending often is.
Yeah, totally.
Take value from it when you can. Feel it, grieve it, but also take value.
Yeah. Buddhism and Hinduism play such a big role in the way that I think we understand the spiritual significance of impermanence. And, you know, there's a couple of things I think that are helpful to know from those spiritual teachings as we think about endings. First is in Buddhism, they call impermanence anicca. And it's the idea that everything in life is transient. And what that's teaching us to do is really mind our attachments to things, to people, and also to outcomes. When you want, Alia was just saying, yes, last week. On our session about manifesting, and she's just written this beautiful book about how to manifest, that you have to really take into consideration all elements of your life and all of your wants and desires when you're manifesting. But when you're manifesting, we can get so hyper-focused on an outcome and get so attached to the goal that we've created or the vision that we have for our future. And in Buddhism, that attachment to that outcome is what creates suffering in humanity, that we become so attached.
Right.
So,
this is how it was supposed to go for me. This is where I meant to go.
Right.
Yeah,
which
you're right.
Really takes you out of the natural rhythm and flow of all of the rest of it.
Yeah. And you don't pay attention to the beauty that is in all of these little things around you because you're so hyper focused on how did I not get there?
Yes, exactly.
So how am I here instead of there? Yeah.
It's really endings and impermanence is seen as essential for spiritual awakening. That to learn how to alchemize this process, and by that I mean work with this process as a natural part of your life, is essential to your awakening, your ascension to a freer soul, a more expanded consciousness.
I've always been attracted to Buddhism. I should read more. I've always been everything, any lesson I ever hear from it or about it, I'm always like, obviously.
Yeah. And then in Hinduism too, it's really, you know, endings are just a part of a rebirth cycle. They're, you know, obviously reincarnation being such a big belief system in that religion. There is no such thing as an ending. It is a becoming something else. It is a transformation from one thing to another thing. And I think that that also can hold such vast wisdom in our lives when we're dealing with ending. So if you're thinking about, for example, like you just said, you know, ending your identity as a stay-at-home mom with younger kids.
Yeah.
Well, yes, that
is
true.
What is that making space for?
But what are you becoming? And really understanding the cyclical nature, the reincarnation of your identity in this ending is such a part of the awakening for you.
That's the name of Michelle Obama's book. And I never really thought about it. And now I'm thinking, did you read it? It was a really good book.
I did.
And it's just her life story, basically.
Yeah.
And it's becoming because she's ever evolving. You know, she went from this to this to this. And it's been all these phases and different stories from her lifetime.
Yeah,
that we are, all of us, whether we like it or not, are constantly becoming.
Right.
No choice.
And that requires endings. Tibetan Buddhism talks a lot about death as a spiritual transformation, for example.
Yeah.
And, you know, that idea that, like, you know, death is not the end. It's a transition into a new state of being. And, you know, I think that that's not just literally. It just doesn't mean the death of the body.
Right.
It means the death of whatever is real for us in our lives. So you look at these teachings and then you understand that, you know, for thousands of years, we have known that there's something really magical in endings. There's something really transformative in endings. And that transformative nature can feel like a life raft.
I don't think I think it's, people have been aware of it, but I think the majority of us are not. It's just too overwhelming endings.
Embracing
most of the time. Yeah. It's hard to embrace it.
Yeah.
Hopefully when you listen to this podcast, you will shift your mentality slightly.
Yeah. I mean, listen, we've been through some endings in our lives. I think we can speak personally to how transformative they have been, but also how they feel. So like, I think we'd be remiss if we didn't just stop and talk about the emotion that comes with endings. And I think the biggest one is grief.
Yeah, for sure. It's the most powerful one also.
What do you feel like for you that grief is trying to tell you?
Well, as we also just talked about on the last podcast with Alia, that grief is that you grieve because you had so much joy and love for that human, that space, that whatever it is. And that once that whatever has come to pass, there's nowhere for all of that love and joy to go. And that's what your grief is that you don't have anywhere to put all of this that you once had a place to put it in.
Yeah.
So
I also feel like for me, grief is the illusion that it'll never be that way
like
again.
That.
Or that I, you know, that moment is lost to me somehow. And I think that I'm only in that illusion when I forget that I am the amalgamation of all of these moments.
100%.
That, like, those moments exist within my system. Even loved ones that have passed. My grandmother, you know, especially when I'm stressed out, I feel her so, so keenly.
You do.
I'll dream about her. I feel her, like, with her hand. I feel her hand on my back. And that is such a reminder to me that she is a part of my system.
Right.
She is part of my DNA, my blood, my bones, my spiritual system is made up so much of my grandmother. So the grief is necessary. Like, you have to feel it. But also, I think it's also this illusion that you've lost something rather than that that experience has actually gone into you like a vase and is right. part of filling you and making you into what you are. It is still a part of you, whatever that 100%. Moment or that relationship is that you are grieving.
I think it's challenging for people who, unlike you, are not able to sense the presence of their grandmother in the room or sense her back. You know, like, my mother still grieves her parents because she in no way is able to be in tune with their souls or whatever you believe in. So she just constantly grieves for their loss.
Yeah.
She doesn't feel like it was part of her. I can't explain it. I mean, of course they were part of her, but she doesn't feel as though that loss, it was a pure ending to her. There was no new beginning for her after that.
Right. But you don't have to feel their spirit to know that you are a result of them.
100%.
And for that to be part of your reminder of to like really sit with what part of my personality is that? Or what lessons did they teach me? Or, you know, what dreams did they have that I'm bringing to life? Like, you are a result of your ancestors dreaming.
Or even your memories. Like, they're still a part of your memories. They're still a part of you. My sister's not big into cemeteries. She prefers to connect with loved ones who have passed on
through the
memory or acting in a way that that person acted in that is reminding her of that person, like being generous, like my grandfather. That's how she feels connection.
Yeah. And grief also creates such connection with self, because when you're in that, what feels like a dark tunnel of grief, and you allow yourself that experience, you feel everything. It does sort of feel like your spidey senses are like on high.
Heightened,
right? Because you're so deeply connected to yourself in that grief. Grief is such a opening process to self. These are my emotions. This is the way that I sense things. This is how this person makes me feel. Like, you know, you become heightened, I think, in grief. And there's something really profound.
Yeah, you can't get away from it, it feels like.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just all consuming. So you're keenly aware.
Yeah. I think the other thing besides grief as an emotion around endings is the uncertainty, the anxiety that comes with, right?
Yeah, that's me for sure. And then like, now what? I don't like not knowing what's going to happen. I don't like not knowing what's coming down the pipeline. So for me, endings are really tricky in that way.
Yeah. The uncertainty can be so disconcerting because you knew what you knew in that last relationship, that last phase of life, that last moment. It was tangible and clear to you.
Right. Even if it wasn't healthy, it was what you knew.
Yeah. Yeah. And not knowing is so scary. I mean, I don't want to turn everything around to make it positive, but I can't not just coach around this really quickly.
Wait, I was just going to ask you, for those who are in a moment where they're in such deep grief or they are unable to move past this ending, what is a great way to flip it?
Well, I want to talk about uncertainty specifically, because grief is different. Like, grief, I think, is just its own spiritual process that you have to feel. And I don't want to, like, I don't know, you know, the modern
tell somebody how to do
love and light healing version of, like, you can't have that depth of pain. You have
no, I don't think that's what we're saying. I don't think we're
saying I don't have as much coaching around grief other than as to say grief is its own magnificent, magical, dark process that is doing its own thing, right? That, like, I don't need to explain because it's unique to everyone. But in terms of uncertainty, I will say to you that you undoubtedly, you have evidence in your life of moments that you weren't sure, you didn't know how it was going to end up, and then it ended up better than you expected. Undoubtedly, you do.
Yeah, of course.
And so just know that whatever uncertainty you're in right now around this new beginning, you were in before the last thing started that you're now
100%.
Grieving.
It's like the proof. And the proof's in the pudding.
The proof is in the pudding. And so I really feel like evidence is such an important antidote to uncertainty, is to look back at your life and say, how was I really supported by universe? How did things work out in a way that helped me to expand into my truest self? who did I meet along the way that I would have never expected that changed my life? I met you during an ending. I had such a loving, connected, profound relationship with my best friend from high school that we were always right. together. Always, yeah, always, always. And right. I thought I was going to be connected to that person for the rest of my life. And, you know, we went through college and things happened and that relationship was ending when I met you.
That's right.
And I don't want to say that there's not enough room to have multiple best friends, but we would have never been this had that relationship stayed.
I agree. She didn't care for me or my presence in your life. And I think that had you not already been in this phase of it starting to end, you would have pushed me aside to appease her because right. that would have mattered to you.
Right. And so there was so much uncertainty for me around what does life look like without this person who was like my sister? And the universe was kind of just smiling like, no, 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 there's another new beginning here on the other side of this that's actually lasted double as long, right? We've been friends for 20 years. So there's always evidence when you're in the uncertainty that there is a bigger plan for you that's working out in your highest good and that's going to bring new people into your life.
But this can't end. Don't end this.
No, I won't. Don't worry. Okay, there's great. No one else in line anyway.
Okay, great. If she comes, I'll beat the shit out of her.
You're safe. And then she'll be saying, Melissa didn't care for me in your life at that moment.
Totally. And I'll be like, ugh.
Anyway, so listen, we are like, I guess I think that, you know, endings are hard because they carry so much emotion with them. And I think that sometimes that emotion can sweep us up and not allow us to use endings as the magical process in our spiritual journey as they are. Like, it's easy to listen to the fact that the Buddha said that impermanence is necessary and right. not having attachment is necessary to achieve nirvana. But what does that actually mean in right. your real life? And I think that, and from a practical sense, what that means is having the trust and faith and the surrender. To know that if something is ending, I will not be so attached to it that I will miss the new beginning.
Oh, that's kind of beautiful. I think it's also really challenging for people to do this effectively when they have multiple endings in a row. You know, there yeah. are some people who just have like a string of bad luck and it's impossible to see out of that. It's yeah. it's not impossible. I lie. It's very challenging to see out of that. You know, a death of a loved one, a loss of yeah. a job, a eviction from your home, and it's like back to back to back. You're yeah. like, when is a new beginning coming?
I really want to believe and reframe that it's not bad luck. Yeah. That it is really a moment in your journey, in your soul's journey to expand. And that whatever is happening to you is inviting a new part of you that's been like buried under rubble to emerge. And that part of you is going to be way stronger, way wiser, and more loving. And that's what all of these string of events do, is like really help us find the most divine parts of ourselves and connect to that divinity, connect to that unconditional love and resilience and dignity that exists within us. And, you know, I was telling my son this the other day. I don't know what we were talking about. I was talking about how freaking good he is under pressure. And I said to him, baby, diamonds are created under pressure. That is so true. Like that
really is.
Grindstone is what polishes you. And I know it sounds like nonsense and bullshit when you're in pain, but it really has been so evident in every phase of my life.
100%. I'm not good with it though either. I'm not good. No diamonds over here. I'm bad with pressure, with change and pressure. I'm not good in those circumstances.
Yeah, but you say no diamonds over here and you are sparkling more than ever before right now.
Yeah.
You were under the grindstone recently. So I don't like, you are actually evidence to the contrary.
Peen, I'm gonna hug you through the computer.
And we've all, I mean, listen, like I've talked about this a million times, like endings are a part of my life that are so shaping. And, you know, I've been through a divorce, which is one of the hardest endings, I think, that us humans go through, right? There's death, Absolutely. There's divorce.
You should talk about it now. Can you?
I've talked about it, I feel like, so much. I mean, what more can I say?
I don't. I think that it's really vital to understand what it allowed, what kind of space it allowed for you afterwards. Because I think a lot of people listening, especially those who are thinking about divorce or have been through divorce, need to know and understand to feel safe.
My marriage, my first marriage, was such a home for my limiting belief systems. It was such a fertile garden for my limiting belief systems to flourish.
Yeah.
And had I stayed in that marriage, I would have believed those limitations
forever,
even today.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that for me, that ending, which was excruciating, what it did is it went in and it unearthed all of the roots of those limiting belief systems. Not every one, but the ones attached to being lovable, being in a committed partnership, men, and the limiting belief systems I have around men. It really uprooted those beliefs and made me, it forced me to choose, are you going to keep looking at the world this way? Or do you want an enhanced experience that's more in line with your truth and your dignity? And that was the opening that that divorce created. But when I was in it, like, I'll never forget the time, the phase between like when I told him I wanted to be separated and I filed for divorce. That had to be the most excruciating 11 months of my life. You know, there comes this point of even when there's pain and suffering in the relationship, there's attachment. There's routine.
Of course. And you have children. Of course.
Well, yeah, but I'm talking even more more minutia than that, Bean. Not the children. I'm talking the human to human connection that you establish with someone that you love and that you live with. The rituals that you are in together, whether that's like, you know, we brush our teeth at our sinks at the same time, or we would drive to work together and listen to music and talk about music.
Even the four of us would hang out. We had
a lot of fun together. Yeah. And so there's so much loss.
Yeah.
I don't even know why I'm getting emotional. I don't think I think about it very often.
Yeah.
Because it was so hard to walk away from those parts. Those moments, that connection, that like telepathic understanding of each other that we had. And so
I think we're talking about is that endings are so hard because there's so much beauty. Even when somebody you chose to leave, you got up and said, this is so wrong for me. There was still so much beauty in so many things you had, including the two beautiful children you had.
Yes.
So how that ending feels really painful because you're walking away from something that did bring you joy at various times.
And it ended our relationship as we know it.
As
he and I do not have a relationship at all.
Right.
And so I'm really shocked at my own emotion right now. There's a way that this person is like completely lost to me. That like is not in my life at all anymore. And I, as much as I can hold all of the expansion that came with it, there will always be grief too. And I think that I preach all of this like opportunity side, this upside, this growth side out of a place of naivete.
Right.
I preach it out of a real felt sense of the heartbreak that comes with life. And the fucking joy and expansion and and resilience and goddamn, like becoming so much more yourself because of these endings. Like all of the endings in my life have allowed me to be another one. I don't speak to my father anymore. But in that severing of that relationship, there's so much me in there now. There's so much dignity for what I deserve and what I believe is a positive, beneficial relationship, and how I can so easefully now stand in the knowing that I deserve that from anyone who gets to be in my life.
Absolutely.
In a way that I wouldn't have in the past at all.
I think where we go from here then is you explaining to the listeners, or it would be 17 hours of conversation, but you sharing a couple tips of how you do when you're in an ending where you're not seeing the light and you're not understanding that there is a new beginning awaiting. How do you move in that direction? Ease towards that?
I'm going to kind of give you, I think, four steps.
Wow.
Whoa.
But I think that before I do, I really want to reiterate the value, the necessity of surrender.
Yeah.
You know, we are so, as egoic beings, our egos really do try to convince us that we can control everything. And when we feel that we have lost control because an ending has happened that upends our lives.
Lost control. That's a good language.
That loss of control can be so all-consuming.
Yes.
And the antidote is truly surrender. It is really the trust and faith in the unknown, in the idea that there is so much happening behind the scenes in your highest good that is working out in your favor in the long run. And the how of it might be really confusing or painful. I always joke, like, you can yell at your spirit guides. Like, sometimes I'm like, what the fuck? Really? This? Fine. They're not mad at you. But there are there's so much guidance and love and support in the unseen that is guiding you to something else through this. And you don't know how it's going to work out. You just don't. You are not doing this on your own. You are not. There is great peace of mind in that, and there's great frustration in that, because if you believe that you are the writer, the director, the, you know, all of it, the actor, then you have lost a big part of the picture, which is that there is this whole behind the scenes crew that is also operating in your favor. And that trust is essential. I think that is why religion has been the longest lasting system in humanity.
And it's why I struggle so much with my newfound spirituality, because I go back and forth on all of that. And it is really hard for me to surrender and give it up, because a lot of times I'm like, well, I am the one steering the ship. I'm the only one steering this goddamn ship, and I have to steer it correctly or everyone's going to drown.
Yeah, totally. It's really fair. And, you know, remember that ancestral trauma comes into that too. So when we've had trauma in our bloodline that tells us that we are only going to suffer, then it's really hard to have trust and faith in a source energy, in a higher power, in a cast of spirit guides, whatever you want to believe, the universe.
Or in yourself.
Yourself. Yeah. So I want to say that surrender is everything. That there comes a moment, I tell people all the time, you got to lay back in the river and just let it flow.
You hear that yourself?
Yeah.
Okay. write that down, buddy.
Yeah. So,
Jesus. Right.
Anyway, so beyond that, I think, you know, a couple of just like tactical tools that my bean likes.
I love
one is just, you know, first is grieving is essential to accepting
an
ending. It's essential. Yeah. You can't fast forward past it. You can't feel less of it. You need to move through it. And you can find ways to feel your feelings. You can journal. You can write them down. You can sit in silence. You can talk to other people. Seek support. So many of my friends that I have become closer to and there's more depth in is because there's a part of me that requires that honesty of how does life suck right now? That's why we do Cringe and Delight.
Right.
And there's new connections I have where like I notice that that's not what friendship was to them. It was about fun and going out and like having these superficial connections.
Right.
But actually, friendship and community around the hard times in life is so important.
It is.
So the way to like navigate through grief and feeling your feelings is to talk about your feelings. You know, there's this book that I love called Broken Open, written by Elizabeth Lesser. And she calls us all bozos on a bus. And she's like, you know, we're all just on this bus, like God knows where we're going, but we perform such control over it. So if you go up to someone in a cocktail party and you say, how are you doing? They'll say, great. Practice, not so good. Practice having a really hard week, month, year. Practice the honesty of your feelings in that moment. That's how you create connection. That's so supportive.
I never want to do that to people I'm not that comfortable with. But now I'm thinking like if we all just were kind of honest about it, it would seem we wouldn't feel obliged to just tell everyone it's great. Everything's great. Doing great.
Right. Which then it makes people feel shame over their own grief and hardship.
Correct. That's what I'm saying. That they're like, oh, well, I can't say I'm having a shitty week because their week is great.
That's right. Yeah. So that's one thing, is to like really feel the grief. And I gave you a couple of ways to support you in that process. The second is reframe. I mean, this is the, like, I think I'm the master of reframe, but how is this ending an opportunity? Where is the new beginning behind this? What can I learn from this? Like, really start to see the cyclical nature that an ending, you know, I think that when endings feel overwhelming, it's because we've bought into the illusion of a linear, you know, beginning, end. Yeah, right. But if you can turn that line into a circle and understand, when there's an end, there's a new beginning. How do you start to understand what the new beginning could be and invite that in?
You said reframe, and our last week's episode, which we keep referencing, she used a term I really liked. I actually meant to compliment her on it later, that she kept saying rearrange. Similar to reframe, but it's like you're working with what you're working with. Like it's an ending. Like you just have to like move it around. We're not telling you to get rid of it or ignore it. Like, especially with grief, if you don't, the harder you try to fight your grief, the less you'll be able to see any new openings or beginnings around you.
That's right.
But that she kept saying rearrange, mm-hmm. because we're still working with what we're working with. It is what it is.
But
if you shift it around, you can create like a new sort of puzzle or path or what have you.
Absolutely. I say this, I think every time you ask me for tactical tools around hard things, but focus on your care of yourself.
When you are navigating
an ending, take care of your emotional, physical, spiritual health. What do you need to feel aligned, to feel whole, to feel healthy physically, emotionally, and spiritually? And do those things for yourself and be nice to yourself. Really know that whatever aspect in you wants to beat you up with that massive beat up stick, that aspect is, yes, trying to protect you, but going about it in such a harmful and hurtful way. So dialogue with that aspect, the one that wants you to feel shame or guilt or feel stupid about failing, and therefore there's an ending. That's not allowing for the spiritual wisdom that this ending is trying to create. So be nice to yourself and don't beat yourself up over the ending. Yeah, be nice.
Every step that you're sharing, I keep being like, oh, that is so hard. I think that's why endings are so hard, because every tool you're saying, I'm like, oh, that's the hardest. Oh, that one's the hardest.
Growth doesn't happen because it's easy.
Right.
So I say this to people. I feel like I'm being a bit of an asshole these days in sessions, but I keep saying like, yeah, it's scary. Do it anyway.
I love that you're being an asshole in sessions.
But like, I get it. It's hard. Yeah, you got to do it.
Of course it is.
Right? It's scary. You got to do it. You're uncomfortable with this thing I'm asking you to do. Be uncomfortable and do it. Because as you work through the discomfort, as you do the thing that's hard, you transform. That's what a physical trainer would tell you.
We only grow in discomfort. Exactly. And otherwise, you're just going to coast, but it's not going to be how you really want it to be. Or you're not going to get your true wishes and desires. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And then lastly, you know, create a little practice for envisioning your new start. What does this new beginning feel like? What do you want to bring in to your life in this new beginning? Begin to focus on what you want and how you want it to feel. I cannot reiterate enough that bringing in something new into your life really starts with feeling how it would feel if it were happening. So think about a relationship's ending. Well, what do I want? What do I want my relationship with myself to look like, first and foremost? But then what do I want this next relationship to feel like? What is the truth in line with my own dignity and values and integrity that matter to me? And start to do it. I make vision boards all the time.
Because and call it what you will, way. But that's the core of manifesting.
Exactly.
Is envisioning that actual life. What do I feel like in that life that I want?
Yep. So those are my tangible takeaway tools.
TTTs.
But again, this would not be an episode without Melissa's famous takeaway. So Bean, take us away.
I feel like I always feel this way. This whole episode was a takeaway. Truthfully, my takeaway is a little negative, but not. It's that endings are really hard. We did not come on here to say like, endings are hard, but you just need to smile through it. Like everything you said, I'm like, that's really hard. It's really hard.
And that's okay. It's right. okay that it's hard. Like you said, it's all part of the growth process. And if you want to coast forever, then stay sad and mad and angry about your ending forever. But if you want to grow and evolve, which a lot of times, like even in a divorce, people choose the divorce. It's still very painful, right. but they choose it. But the reason they chose it is because they want different. They want more. They want to grow. They want to be different than they are in these parameters.
Yeah.
So use the opportunity to become what it is you're looking to become.
This is the tough love mama.
God damn it. Except, yeah, I'm not really tough love. yeah. But I'm trying to be better. Like this is yeah. hard, but you're going to take something from it.
Yeah. All right. Well, Bean, I'm so grateful I get to have this conversation with my best friend.
Truly.
One that is so important. Guys, please support us by sharing this episode with anyone that you think could benefit from it. And remember to tune in next week for another
And pre-order one. Maury's book.
She gets a cut. See you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.
This has been another episode of Signal, the podcast that raises your frequency. This podcast is co-hosted and produced by myself, Maury Fontanez, and Melissa Bushka, and is edited by our sound editor, Josie Barak. Stay tuned next week for another episode.